I want to welcome you to tonight's show. We could not have anything more serious to talk about than we do now. Your vote. It was so important that the founders put it in the Constitution that every person, yeah, I know there's a little glitch in there, but every person would have the right to vote. And tonight, we're going to talk about that. And I got some very, very good men to help me. Now, I'm going to break it down a little bit. They're called the big dogs on the block. That's what I've heard. And I got some of the best that they got on with us tonight for Speak Out Loud. And I'm going to ask their chairman, to introduce himself, a little about the organization, and then we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation. My man, my brother from another mother, I want you to do me a favor. Give me 1 minute to do something that's very important. Marvin, give me 1 minute. There's another young man. He turned a very significant age today. He is my grandson. James, I want to let you know, Papa Man loves you, and everything that is done tonight, everything that is said tonight, it's for you. Your mom is doing the best she can to raise a young man into a citizen, a thriving citizen of this country. And we want to wish you a very happy birthday. So Uncle Joshua and I are going to kick the show off with you, your Uncle Malcolm, who celebrated a birthday this month. We're going to talk about your Aunt Betty, who celebrated a birthday this month. And Papa's man's birthday was on the 1st of this month. So this is for you from Uncle Joshua and I. Come on, son. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Help me out, fellas, one time.
Happy birthday.
Woo! Happy birthday, James. We love you, man.
James, you just got the sound of the Q Dogs in the house. The men, the big dogs on the block. Brother Chambers, how are you, sir?
In the house.
Wait a minute now. I'm getting a little feedback. How are you, Brother Chambers?
We're doing awesome. We're awesome, Coach.
We want to thank you for being a part of the show tonight. We want to keep it real. We decided not to go so low that it just depresses people. But you guys are doing a powerful thing, your organization. And I told you when we spoke, this was going to be your show because 5,000 people you're trying to drive to the polls plus. And I think tonight is a great start. Why don't you go ahead and tell the people a little bit about what you guys are doing, and then we'll just get started from there.
So just a little bit about us. This is the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. As you know, founded November 17th, 1911 at Howard University. We are one of the chapters. We are the Psi Nu chapter, headquartered in Alexandria, Virginia. We've been around serving the Alexandria community for 48 years, and we'll be around for another 48 times two plus, or whatever you want to call it, serving the community. And what was happening, Coach, is we have what you call uplift calls, which we really got really into around the pandemic, where we come together every Friday just to, you know, just to uplift each other, share ideas, share what's going on with our lives. And we started getting some really, you know, very robust discussions about what's going on today in terms of our political environment and specifically the election. And we started to have conversations and pontificate about what we could do, what we should do, what others should be doing, how they should be doing it. And then it hit us that, what should we be doing?
Mm.
So that the crux of it is we start talking about the importance as a fraternity of 100,000 Black men and the impact of that. And we said, with us being 75 strong in Alexandria, what can we do to make a difference as it relates to making sure people really understand and embrace their vote, their voice, and exercise that voice by going to the polls? And so we said, we're going to do something, you know, try to be bold, be creative, and do something different. So we said, you know what? We know we're going to touch people. So we asked ourselves, how many are we going to touch? So we said, we're going to touch at a minimum 5,000 folks in our Alexandria community. We're going to teach them about understand how they can vote, where they can vote, are they eligible to vote, are they registered to vote, and then most importantly, get out there and vote early, right? Because we don't want to leave this to chance. November 3rd, you know, somebody gets a little sick, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff about people trying to keep you from the polls. I know an individual actually in Texas that was running for city council last year in a special election, and all of a sudden at certain voting places, certain ones, all of a sudden there was construction, you know, kind of keeping people from getting to the polls. So we don't want to leave it to chance, right? So we're saying vote early if you can and vote safely. So that was really the crux of the effort. I want to leave it to the team to really talk about what they've been doing. We've had really three pillars that I want them to talk about in terms of getting out there, in terms of meeting the community where they are, in terms of like being out there. Also, how do we touch people broadly through social media? And how do we use media as well? And, you know, how do we just take these different efforts that we have and really meet people where they are, touch them in a different way, whether it's empowerment, whether it's inspiration, whether it's education, and really make sure they have, they're equipped to do what they need to do in terms of exercising their voice. So I'm gonna hand it over to the team there.
Well, I think you laid out what you're doing, who's running your agenda. Let's talk about who you're gonna bring up to bat first. And I hope they're swinging for the fences tonight. So go ahead, bring up your first one for me.
So first, we're going to start off with Roger, not the Dodger, Roger Hicks, heading up our street team effort.
Mr. Hicks, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, Coach Terry?
I am doing well. I want to thank you for joining us. You are doing one of the most powerful things, I think, in getting out there and putting leather to the streets. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, how you're doing it, and just kind of walk us through it. And for those that's listening, take some notes, because you can take this same plan of action and implement it very quickly and get this going. We got to get people to the polls. Talk to me, Mr. Hicks.
Yeah, with the Sinew Street Team, of which I am the chairman, our main point was to get out and be seen. We know that during this time with the pandemic, not too many people are venturing out, but we thought it important, no more important a topic to move out into public and to get people enthused about voting than not going out into the streets. So the first thing that we did, we put together a plan, and we put that together a plan of accountability. We made ourselves accountable to get the word out, to do the investigations that we had to do to bring information about safe voting, early voting, voting by ballot, voting at your polling places, put all that together and bring it to the people. The first thing we did was we moved to Alexandria. We went to Charles Houston Center on October the 8th, and we made ourselves seen and we made ourselves known. In fact, there was a food line that was in the back of the center. And what we did was we went to people safely distanced. We spoke to them about voting. We told them that we had information. You can see the poster board on the in the back of me. It has information as far as early voting, has information as far as polling places, registration, anything that a person may need to educate themselves on how to get their vote out and counted is on that billboard. So we asked them to take a picture of that sign, and not only to use it themselves, but to send it to a friend, send it to a family member, send it to their listservs so they could be held accountable also. So I think it's very important that our membership, we felt that it was something that we needed to do. We felt that it was something that we were charged to do, to be seen in our community, to make our community a better place, and to really get out the vote and be enthusiastic about it.
Well, you and I had a chance to speak, and you've touched a couple of things that are really important to me. And one of those, you talked about being present.
Yes.
When you talk about being present, I know we're talking about at the polls, but in our other discussion, we talked about being present in our communities long past the polls. Are you guys going to continue this initiative after we've driven all these people to the polls?
Yes, this is something that we've talked about and that we are going to commit to. Because the thing is, we can talk about it, but the thing is, we have to commit to it. And when we commit to it, it's something that we have to challenge each other that makes this, to put this on the top of our list and make this important for us all. So in our commitment, not only are we going to go to November the 3rd, but go past November the 3rd, because we know that in our election system, it's not only the president that makes decisions, but even in everybody's community, you have to get down to the school board. I live in D.C. We have an advisory neighborhood commission that basically takes care of all the decisions that are made in our communities. So we have to start there and move our way up. So we are vowing that we are going to commit ourselves to educating not only our community, but our friends and families across the nation, to let them know the importance of voting, not only here, but anytime election comes up, because we can't just go out there and do anything. The thing is, we're controlled by the decisions that are made by others. So either those others are going to be accountable of the decisions that they make, or we have to hold them accountable by electing them out or voting them out. So we need to educate everyone that we can't sit out. We can't just choose not to vote, because that's something that's just basically throwing away your right, throwing away your privilege.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's part of the accountability, that you actually exercise your right to vote. Yes, you may not have this in the next 4 years, guys.
Exactly.
I mean, and I'm talking to this audience. You may not have this, but one more question for you, if you don't mind.
Yes.
We hear often, when we talk about the streets, we hear street ministry. We hear politicians knocking on the doors. How were you guys received on the street taking this voting message? How was that received?
Well, you have to understand that when we go to the community in Alexandria is a changing community, just like a lot of the communities that we all live in. So you have a lot of gentrification that's going on in our communities. So we are meeting people of all races, creeds, ages, colors, everything. So we are well received, but the thing is that we have to realize is that we have to educate ourselves in order to make a difference in our communities. Mm-hmm. So if we get someone who has a question that they may not have knowledge of, we have to be informed ourselves to help them to make those decisions. But we ran into people who have already voted, all nationalities. We were well received, where they appreciated us being there and basically taking our time to go out there. And I think that's one of the main things, is that when you talk about community, that means that we're all joining together. We're all playing a part in that. And I think that one thing that has been kind of overlooked with the pandemic, one of the catchphrases they say, that, you know, we're all in it together. But we realize that, you know, in all actuality, we're not all in it together.
No,
so we have to encourage other people to be in it, because if we were all in it together, then we wouldn't be doing so bad as we are now with the pandemic. So we have to bring that into fruition.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back up to the chairman.
Yes,
sir, when you talk about being all in it together, one of the things I notice is that you have a very powerful communication team on the digital side who is connecting on the social media side. And you got a historian as a part of it as well, a DMV DC historian, helping to drive that word and communicate it. Where you want to go to from here?
So that's what we did. We're going to go a little old school first.
Come on.
That, right, in terms of how we've been able to kind of, you know, connect that way, and then go a little bit new school in terms of some of the efforts in terms of the social media.
Okay. Right?
So, head of first, I want his brother Trayvon there. Brother Brookins, I want you guys to kind of tag team it a little bit.
Well, who's coming up first? Because I'm mixed. Y'all see my cheeks, guys. We're talking about, first of all, a really solid organization in its whole, doing a very powerful thing in a city that wasn't always welcoming to us. Okay. And now we got brothers that are in the room, if you will. They're helping to get you in the room. And part of this team is just, come on, brother Trayvon, come on, man. Come on. I don't care which one of y'all go.
My name is Trayvon Lincoln, and I work with Brother Brookins on the community outreach team. And this team was tasked with partnering with other organizations in the area, just to get the information out, to make sure that people knew where they could go to vote, different times and locations, and making sure that we were working with the community of Alexandria instead of just making it all about ourselves. Mm. We believe as a group, this is a team effort. It's not just Omega Psi Phi, it's not just the church in the area. We have to all come together and work together to make sure that our community's voice is heard. So I've been working with Brother Brookins, and we've been reaching out to the different churches in the area, the different recreation centers, some of the senior living homes, and just working with them. A lot of these people actually have their own initiatives, but we've been able to partner with them and share information just to ensure that everybody's on the same page so that we can make sure that we're doing our part.
Okay. And how have you been received? How is that going?
It's been going great. We've been received. Everybody has appreciated the information. I've learned things from other people that I've reached out to. They've learned things that they didn't know from me. So we've been received well. And like Brother Roger said, we want to create these partnerships because we plan on going past November 3rd.
There you go.
This is going to be an ongoing effort. So continuing these partnerships moving forward is going to be extremely important for our community.
Well, I want to thank you, sir. I got to go to your partner, though, because, you know, as we said, behind the curtain, and some people may get a look behind the curtain before we actually hit the broadcast live button. I'm honored anytime I'm in Mr. Brookins' presence. I call him one of my mentors. He is a historian in my eyes for the DMV. He worked for one of the oldest African-American newspapers in the country. Mr. Brookins, why don't you introduce yourself, please?
Thank you, Coach Terry. And just to follow up with Brother Trey, and let me just caveat this. They mentioned old school and new school. I had to look around. They're talking about old school, okay? Who are they talking about?
Hey, I just want you to know, I trimmed. You guys saw me the other night, right? I trimmed all my beard down so they wouldn't be, I was starting to call myself old, so I took my beard down.
I hear you, my brother. Well, listen, let me say this, in partnership with Brother Trey, we did the community outreach, and as he mentioned about the churches, the organizations, et cetera, we went to various other nonprofit organizations in the Alexandria area, be it the Lynx, sororities, and other fraternities, and to invite them to be a part of this partnership to assist us in promoting, actualizing, and uplifting our people in terms of voter education, voter registration, and get out and vote however you decide to do so. So this was, for me, this was such a great uplifting to be a part of these brothers who collectively came together with a plan. The key word, they came together with a plan, and then they execute that plan in the community, and it's paying dividends if they have reached out and touched persons in the various areas out there in the community and so forth. So for me, being the young school, moving into the old school, if you call it that, been around for a day or two, as you said, working with the Afro-American newspaper for the past 30 years, the second oldest Black newspaper in the country, still operating and doing its business to tell our story. And that's what we want to do, is tell our story. And these are the kinds of stories that we tell. What are those positive stories that are happening in our community? So this, in terms of what Omega Psi Phi, Psi New Chapter, Northern Virginia, has done, is doing, and will continue to do future-wise, pluses and then pluses for sure.
Well, question for the two of you. Yes. Are there any local churches that you feel you feel comfortable naming that are working with you? I'd love to give them a shout out.
For me, Alpha Street Baptist Church. Mm. Alpha Street.
And Shiloh Baptist Church in Alexandria as well, as well as Ebenezer.
Ebenezer, Shiloh, and Alpha Street. Yes. We want to shout those churches out. If you remember those churches, we want to say thank you, not only for supporting this, but all programs that move people to better. And it's one of the things, I got to be honest, that has bothered me. When I was growing up in the 60s, did I say that?
Yes.
When I was growing up, the preachers were on the front line. The preachers, the Masons, they were on the front line. I'm asking, because we need you now. Where are the Masons? Yes, I'm calling you out, and I have a right to call you out. I can walk the walk and I can talk the talk. But what I don't see is you out encouraging men, especially men of color, by leading the way, the importance of voting. And if you are, we want to talk to you on this show. Speak Out Loud. We want to hear you on Speak Out Loud, okay? So, pastors, you got to get out from behind the pulpit and you got to come walk in the fire. You can't let these few churches do it on their own. Now, before I get in any more trouble or my wife sends me a text, we're going to go back over to you, Brother Chambers.
So I now want to introduce our very powerful, potent, and effective social media team.
Yes.
Brother Anthony Sutton. So, Brother Sutton, you can take it from here.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, once again, my name is Anthony Sutton, and I head the social media committee. So how we first started off was we tried to picture who our target audience was. We knew that there was a larger group of older residents in Alexandria, as well as a larger group of young voters that may not be familiar with the voting status, or this may be their first time voting. So from there, we came up with a three-step message that we pass through our social media. First, check your status. You may not be registered. You may not know where you are supposed to be voting at. We want you to first check in and you know where you are in that situation. Then from there, we say register. If it's your first time voting, go in, register, make sure all the information is jotted down, come up with a voting plan. If you're doing absentee ballot, make sure you fill in the information, fill out the application in a timely manner, then make your plan from there. And then also finally vote early. Virginia has a large poll compared to other states where you had the opportunity to vote. We want you to go ahead and knock it out beforehand. So from that message, right, and after Virginia closed registration last week, we've been moving our focus to actually recording what it looks like at the voting locations. So if you check our social media page right now, you'll see two clips of me also, as well as Brother Dante Jiggets, of our experience at the voting locations. One thing I would like to report is, and that's all was unique, was that anytime somebody was recognized as a new voter or a first-time voter, they rung the cowbell for them and everyone in the voting location clapped. So voting for the first time is encouraged.
So here's the deal. I like when you told me that story, one of the things I like was that someone in that polling place took the initiative to say, here's how we're going to encourage people, motivate people. And that's one of the things we're trying to do tonight, guys. We're trying to encourage you to vote. We want you to understand that you know, these things that these men are doing are terrific. But if we don't get behind it, if we don't help push it, just like right now, I want you to push that share button. You heard me. Push the damn share button. We can't be the only ones to hear this message. We can't. So reach down there. I'm going to give you two choices. Three. One, hit the like button. Two, hit the share button. Three, do a watch party. You need your friends to know more about this than who's making damn egg rolls. No offense against people making egg rolls. No offense. But we got to push the button. Okay, we've got to get the word out, and we can't wait. Jesse ain't coming back. Okay, you aren't going to get to shake hands with Barack and hear him speak. Thank God my family and I got to do that. You get to say you made a difference in history by helping America win again. And that's what we got to do. And we do this through what these young men are doing right now. Well, some of these young men, it might be one or two not so young. But we really need you. If you see their social media posts, we need you to share it. If you see they're out there, we need you to honk your horn and keep encouraging people who are driving people to the vote. What are you finding most difficult about your job, sir, in terms of this voting?
In terms of just voting?
I like it when I stump them. I like it when I stump them.
I would say the hardest part is combating the disinformation or the mood or perspective that regardless of who wins the election, nothing's going to change.
Okay, let's deal with that first. Let's deal with that first one first, okay? That first one is this. The disinformation has to stop. It has to. We're sharing stuff on Facebook that we have not vetted. We saw last night what certain countries are doing to cause a breach in our voting activity. Now, I'm not a member of some of these groups that are just crazy. I don't understand them. But I understand that they didn't send that particular message. So we have to be careful what we share, how we share it. And we need to put it inside of an expandable bubble to get to our community and get them the right information. I got a question for anyone. If someone should encounter, and I know you can only talk about your area, Alexandria, Virginia, but if someone should get to the polls and they're going, they're getting told they can't be there, this isn't their polling place, they run into some drama, is there anything in place that you can tell us about that we should be on the lookout for, where to report it, how to report it?
So as somebody who went and voted early the other day, before I did, one of the things I did was look up all of the different locations in Alexandria to check the hours, because I went during a little bit of downtime at work and I wanted to make sure that the locations I went to, I wouldn't encounter these issues that you spoke about. So if people are trying to vote early in Alexandria and they want to know where they can go vote or they're worried about time, the city registrar's office does early voting from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And no matter where your registration, like your polling place is in the city of Alexandria, you can go there, you give them your ID, they verify that you're registered to vote in the city and you can vote. And so if anybody's worried about, okay, where do I have to go? Is this the right place? Is this open? Especially if they're doing early voting, all they have to know is go to the city registrar's office. You can just Google it. The address is down in the Old Town, Virginia. You can go there anytime from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there was literally no line for me. Like, I went there, I called the lady first and she said, she was very helpful. She told me that there was no line, maybe one or two people. There was parking right across the street, so you didn't have to drive around. When I got there, I was able to park right across the street. I didn't even have to pay for parking because I wasn't gonna be there for more than 10 minutes. In other words,
you took a chance.
Hey, look, it was a chance that was worth it, because what else, we can't just preach about it. As Brother Roger said earlier, we made a commitment. We said we're gonna do this. And one of the main things is we're trying to lead by example. We don't wanna just be one of those people telling people, hey, go vote early, go vote early, go vote early. And the next thing you know, on November 3rd, we're in the line mad. Like, no, if we have the opportunity, we're gonna do it and show firsthand just our experiences. Brother Sutton had a different experience at his polling place time-wise. Mine took me maybe 10, 15 minutes. Somebody was a first-time voter. They did applaud there as well. It was very quick, very effective. We just went in there. They told you what to do. They had social distancing guidelines there, where to stand. Everything was very, if you've ever voted before, it's nothing out of the ordinary. You just give them your ID, verify all your information. If this is your first time voting, they're very helpful. They tell you everything you need to know. There were people outside, but it was nothing that looked like intimidation. There was nothing where anybody felt angry. And that's one of the things that I think Brother Sutton was talking about with all of this misinformation that we get, is you see on the news where they talked about in Fairfax somewhere, there was a group of people who were making it hard and trying to do intimidation for people going to the polls. So one of the things we said, the power of social media is that you can share things instantaneously. You can take, you can capture something and share it with so many people so quickly. People always talk about the ills of social media, but there's a lot of beautiful aspects of it. So we wanted to do that as our committee and say, you know what, let's go vote and document. So if there is intimidation, people can be be wary of it and know what they might be like.
Well, I'm gonna tell everybody, make sure your cell phone is fully charged, pack a light lunch, bring a chair, bring a folding chair, be prepared to stand for your vote. Be prepared to sit in for your vote. It could take some time. Brother Sutton, you had what was your time like when you went? What was that?
So it took me about an hour and a half to finish the voting process from when I started in line to sending my ballot in. When I left, about 20 minutes before the voting place closed, there was still a line to where I originally started at.
Wow.
But the people at the place were very open, very friendly, you know, just trying to tell people it's okay. We're expecting people to still stay past the voting, you know, the voting time.
Okay. Well, I want to thank both of you. We're going to go back to Brother Marvin. Brother Marvin, first of all, Brother Khalid Moore says the Masons are out here. He's on Facebook Live. He joined us. Brother Moore, thank you. Do me a favor. Hit that like, share, and then let's do a watch party. Let's go back and share this again. You're hearing from some of the Qs. You hear me? They are bringing, here we go. You know, the rest of the Divine Nine going to be coming after a brother, right? But I want to ask all of you before we go to the next one. Let me go back. No, before we do that, Brother Chambers, who you got next?
I'd like to hear from Brother some of his ideas in terms of what, you know, some of the things he's done with the chapter in terms of kind of making sure not just this committee, but the whole chapter is involved in what we're doing with this, but also other initiatives that we have going on, as well as his involvement with the social media committee.
Well, let me ask him one question before you get started. Brother Hawk, how young are you, brother? People want to know. How young are you, brother?
Me specifically, out of everybody, I get that question.
Look, they came at me and Mr. Brookings, so you don't have to answer it, but you know.
No, I'm 31 years old. My birthday is coming up. That's why I had to think about it. My birthday is coming up in a couple of months.
The reason why I ask, your responsibility, you know, I think of nuts and bolts, and if you look at clocks and all of the different hands that make it turn, you're the man that makes this thing turn, man. You're part of those main gears. And at 30 or 31, wherever you want to be at, I really know you're 27, but if you want to pretend you're old, I'm all right with that. Man, that's a lot of responsibility, brother.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, man, like the way that we operate, not only as a chapter, but just as this committee itself, is we try to make it so that all the burden doesn't fall on one person and it doesn't fall on one man to really do all the work. So with my situation specifically, I'm one of the only ones on this team, on this committee that actually isn't even in the area of Virginia anymore. I was up there, but I'm actually in Georgia. But through the power of social media, like we were talking about, you know, there are highs and lows to it. I've been able to still really be involved as much as I can by making sure that the committee is together and make sure that we can get all the information out there. So like, you know, for example, with the social media aspect that we're doing, one of the big initiatives that we have been putting together for that is, you know, with getting the word out there and getting all the information, you know, every couple of days or so, what we were doing on our Instagram is to put together, you know, tidbits of information in the sense of whether it's just a picture that has, you know, inspirational voting information on it or just voting, you know, specs to it. We'll put that out there just to kind of remind people. And with that, we would always have the tag of Sinew 5000. As Brother Chambers had mentioned. And, you know, every time we're always making sure people register, always making sure that we're pushing that verbiage out there so that, you know, it's not just a one and done type deal where, you know, people see it one day like, okay, I'll go register. But it's like a constant reminder to let them know that this thing you know, we're trying to get people out there to not necessarily just be at the polls on November 3rd or whatever, to get it to, so that it's not so much of a burden. One of the bigger things, like I can definitely speak as some of the other brothers have spoken to about the situations in the northern area of Virginia. I can tell you down here in Georgia, one thing that, you know, has been historical, I think the first week that they opened up the early voter registration, it was like over 1 million votes already cast, you know, and that's just being able to just get the word out there. I'm not necessarily speaking to get the word out there for Georgia, but I'm sure that, you know, there have been other states that have been like, okay, you know, well, we're not going to have a repeat of, you know, past elections where, you know, people just didn't feel like getting registered, or people were just sort of pessimistic about the whole voting registration process and just the whole voting, you know, aspect of it. And just like Brother Jig has said, where people are like, you know, well, one vote doesn't matter, you know, things are not going to change or whatever. You're just really just kind of trying to change that mindset to say that voting itself isn't just a one and done thing. It's more of a process. It's more of an ability to keep, you know, to keep moving forward and to, you know, if you want change to be done, you can do that. And like I said, with social media, with the power of social media, you can positively and unfortunately negatively, but that's not necessarily our area, or it's not our area. Well, you can have that effect on people to, you know, kind of trying to change people's mindsets and just try to really get them in the mindset of saying, you know what, I do matter, you know, and my voice matters. So I'm going to play my part. And if things don't work out how I want, that's fine. At least I've made an attempt. At least I did what my right allows me to do. So that's where we all came in.
Well, you lead me into the question. I'm gonna take this to your chairman. Sir, why do you believe this election is so important? Why do you personally believe it?
With me, it goes back to an early conversation that our chapter had when we were talking about the current political climate. Is, you know, quite frankly, our legacy as a people is on the line. I look at the things that my father was able to accomplish, and my grandmothers and so forth in terms of generations before, and you can see some of the fabric of things starting to erode in some ways. And it's our responsibility to say, you know what, we want to keep that legacy intact. When I think of my, you know, my son and what I want for him, the experiences that he's currently having in his school, dealing with racism and other things, that this is an opportunity for us to use our voice, use our platform, use the power we have as Black men to really make a difference. And quite frankly, you know, it's all on the line. You got federal courts on the ballot. You have healthcare on the ballot. You have immigration on the ballot. You have our financial system on the ballot, right? Every aspect of your life, financial, political, social, economic, spirituality is on the ballot, right? What we stand for as a people is on the ballot. So we have to do everything in our power to make sure that we represent who we are and whose we are, and really bring that legacy, maintain and take that legacy forward. So that's what it means for you, quite frankly, Coach. It's all about legacy, and our legacy from just a 360 perspective. It's just so much going on in this world. This literally is a do or die election. All you have to do is pay attention. All you gotta do is pay attention. Dying out there, right? Literally dying out there.
Over can I add on to that?
People have died out there, right?
Can I?
Jump in where you fit in at this point. Yeah. I think we covered all of the, did we cover all of the different teams you got?
Yep.
So yes, we got about 15 minutes, give or take, left. Let's go open discussion. Can we do that? But you had a question, Mr. Dante, or you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the other reasons why I think this election is very important is, as Brother Sutton said, a lot of people always have this mentality that, hey, nothing's going to change if I vote. Or, you know, I don't, my voice doesn't really matter. I think if everybody's looked at what's going on in the world, sadly, it took a pandemic for a lot of people to realize, yo, there's a lot of stuff happening to Black people in this country. And then lately they realized, hey, there's a lot of stuff happening to Black people around the world. And whether or not you think people's feelings are genuine or if they're just doing it to like get corporate dollars. The reality is there's a lot of people who have their ears open right now. There's a lot of people who are listening right now. And so out of any other election, I can tell you the truth, like ever since I've been able to vote, my first election I was able to vote was when Barack Obama was running in 2008. Ever since I've been able to vote, everybody's always told me this is the most important election of your life. But the difference is in none of those times did I hear CEOs or different presidents of companies saying, hey, what do Black people want? How can we make things more inclusive? Just from like, hey, let's change the language we use to, hey, let's actually listen to these people who say they have problems. So whether or not people always think that their vote matters, this is a very unique time where people are actually saying, hey, we want to hear what you want. And if you exercise that right, you're exercising your ability to be part of that voice, to tell people, hey, this is something that I feel strongly about. And I think that's what makes this very different from past elections that I've seen.
Dante, I agree with you. And with that, because it's different, you have to understand at the same time is a little window and the window closes, right? So when the opportunity is there, you have to really seize the opportunity. So that's why I think at this particular time, you have to go for it because the window, people are listening. But if you don't take advantage of the opportunity, you know, the ears will close again.
And I think that's one of the things you guys are doing and other organizations around the country is you're using your megaphone, your platform, your knowledge to get the word out and the importance of this vote. And you're right. We've heard it all our lives that this is the most important election. Well, in this election cycle, as you so stated, sir, there's so much on the line. We're putting another Supreme Court justice possibly in place. We got some sheriffs and some district attorneys that are going to be coming up for re-election or running for offices. We got new senators and even some old ones who are embracing some rather rough ideas that could harm us as a people. And if we don't do some of the things that these brothers have worked very hard to get the message out, then we're going to lose a lot, guys. Coach and Steve. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of losing and accepting scraps. I mean, when we came here, we started eating chitlins because they wouldn't give us none of the good part of the pig. We may do. We started eating, well, the truth is, we started eating stuff that they wouldn't eat so we could survive. And for this one moment in most of our lives, we have an opportunity to not only ask for what we should have been given, not only demand for what we should have been given, but we can now take that with our vote. Your vote is your voice. Maybe you don't have a platform to speak up on, but you do have a vote to give. Mr. Brookins, in honor, I say this, as one of the senior members of this panel, sir, you've seen a lot. You've recorded a lot. You've written about a lot. In your opinion, how important, sir, is this vote?
Well, I think we cannot say it enough, the significance of this vote that is so important in the history of our voting. When you go back to the 15th Amendment that gave Black men the right to vote, yet it was discarded, and we went to the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that restated we had a right to vote in this country per the Constitution. And we have seen how over the years that it has been dismantled left and right. I mean, if you remember the words of John Lewis, we got to be in doing good, get into good trouble to carry the mission forward. And so therefore, what I have observed, I've never seen this kind of a national coalition of various groups and individuals, everybody from the sports type, the entertainment type. Heck, the other day, Oprah was on the phone calling folks individually to urging them to vote. Oprah, you know, and when you see how former President Obama and Michelle have gotten out there very actively, that just tell you the importance of it, that's all capsule in what Omega Psi Phi Psi Nu Chapter is doing actively. And I would just simply say this. I think about the old spiritual I feel like going on.
I feel like going on. Come on,
and,
man.
And we're going to go on till the end. We're going to go on. We're going to do it on November 3rd. We're going to do it and beyond, as the brothers have stated. So it is so, and like you said, brother, the Mason brother heard your comments.
Hey, he
called up. So we are making a difference. We are making an impact, not just in Alexandria, but throughout the DMV, and I suspect throughout the nation.
You about to preach, but before you start your sermon, I'm going to go over to Brother Hicks. Brother Hicks, yes. I'm going to tell you right now, you and I just met the other night via this.
Yes.
I'm going to call you the most serious of the group, okay? You are always dead on focus, and because you are out there beating the streets, brother, somebody said, yeah. I saw that comment come across. Somebody said, yeah. Make your comment, but the question stays the same. Why is this election so important to you?
Well, it's two things I want to address. The last thing I'm going to address at the end, when I'll tell you guys about our next time when we're going to do a street team event. But the one that's really burning to me that I want to address right now is the idea of people withholding their vote or not voting, basically voter apathy. Mm-hmm. This topic of voter apathy to me makes no sense at all. It's not courageous. It takes no planning. It takes, you know, it's really ignorant for one person to say that they're not going to vote. You have to do your job. You have to do your due diligence to find out the best candidate that you can vote for, because they're going to affect you. They're going to affect your family. They're going to affect somebody that you know in your community, whether you like it or not. And to withhold your vote, the only person that you're pleasing is yourself. So it's a very selfish act not to vote. We need to take the opportunity to stand up and say, look, I'm just not gonna withdraw from this process. I'm going to stand up, do what I need to do, educate myself, and pick the person that I feel will be best for not only for myself, my family, but my community. You know, I look at it as an analogy. There are tough choices that we have to make. If someone came up to you and said, look, I'm going to either harm your mother or I'm going to harm your child, but if you don't make a decision, I'm going to harm both of them. That's a tough choice, but you need to do what you need to do to make that decision, because it's going to be less on one or the other if you don't make that decision. Life is hard, and it's going to come times where we may have to make tough decisions. Case in point, they announced the other day that Governor Larry Hogan, somebody who, you know, I'm not a Republican, but I admire some of the things that Larry Hogan has done for the state of Maryland. But he said one thing that really troubled me. He was not courageous enough to come out to say who he was going to vote for. He said that he was going to pin in the name of Ronald Reagan as his choice for president. How are you serving your constituents? How are you serving your community if you're going to basically, you know, move out of the process and do something cowardly like that? Well, to me, that makes no sense.
You nailed that, and I'm gonna go with you through this entire crisis we've been under, both from civil unrest to the pandemic. I've kind of looked at him and said, you know what, I would vote for him. That's what I said. I would vote for him. He had me up until a few days ago when that comment came across, and I'm a resident of Maryland. But most importantly, I'm a citizen of these United States of America, and I've helped to defend it. So I have a right to speak out. Governor, you made your first critical error doing that. You protected your political ass, is what you did. You forgot all about the people. We the people, Governor. Governor Larry Hogan, you had me. I'll support any initiative you would have done until you made that comment so that you could run successfully for president after this election. That's why you made that comment, so we couldn't hold you accountable. That was a cowardly act, sir, and you let us down. And I'm not afraid to tell you. And if you got another voice, I'd love to bring you onto this show and have you tell the people of Maryland and the world why you didn't call it all the way out. This isn't time to put one foot in. And that not only goes for you, sir, that goes for every man of color, especially black men. Our ancestors paid a heavy price to get us just to this point. We cannot drop the damn baton now. We're in the race of our life. We're in the race for our lives. As a matter of fact, the First Lady said, vote as if your life depended on it. Big Mama, your grandkids' life depends on this vote. If you got to stand in line, stand in line. If you got to fight to get to your vote, fight. We may not be able to do this again, guys. And I'm nervous, but I'm hopeful. I'm scared, but I'm moving on. I want to thank these brothers for being a part of the show. And I would be wrong if I did not let the chairman, and if there's anyone else who has something to say before we close out of here, because we said we'd go to 8, but if we have to push it over a little bit, this is more important than the game that's on tonight. I want to see Tiger play myself. This is more important than what they're going to call a debate tonight. We all know this is a train wreck waiting to happen. You might as well go to NASCAR and wait on the damn wreck, because that's what that's going to be. And we know we're going to be lied to. But here, sir, before I give my parting words, and I got to tell you, I hope, sir, you come back on and you and I get to talk on one of the other platforms we have. But for the organization and your brothers, we'll give you and anyone you want to have the last word. Go ahead, Mr. Chambers.
I'll just be really brief. First of all, Coach Rick Terry, thank you for this opportunity. We've really enjoyed this discussion. And even in every time I talk to my brothers, I learn something new. I get inspired and more engaged each and every time. And I just thank them for the opportunity to lead them and lead this effort. I thank them for all the work they've done. I thank them for all the work that they will do in terms of, you know, doing our part in terms of bringing this over the finish line on November 3rd. And again, you know, God bless America. God bless Omega. God bless each one of our families.
Well, I want to thank you, sir. And just as I was ready to close out, we got two questions that came across. How can we keep the momentum and focus going after the election? Who wants to take that one?
I'll take a quick stab at it.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, one of the things that we want to push, especially within the social media team, is that voting is important outside of just the presidential elections. We already started making plans to make what we're doing on social media team part of our bigger initiative for how our chapter does voter registration, education, and mobilization. One of the things is you have to constantly remind yourself that what you're doing now just lays a foundation. The most impact you'll have on what you see around you is on your local city and also on your state ballots and when those elections come up. And one last thing to leave with is there's other things on the ballots besides the presidential. In Virginia, there's a constitutional amendment, and around Alexandria, Fairfax County, there's the talk of bonds as well. And depending on where you live, there's other small things that's on the ballot as well. And we want you to pay attention to those things, because those things, and paying attention to those things, set the foundation going forward.
Well, I want to thank you. Did I miss anyone?
One thing, Coach.
Yes, Harry, sir, Mr. Hicks.
Yeah, on October the 27th, the SINU Street Team is going to start at the Charles Houston Center at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. We're going to have our signs out there. We're going to encourage citizens to vote. We're going to move from the Charles Houston Center towards Potomac Yards, still encouraging citizens to vote. If anyone wants to come out and see us, beep your horn, let us know that you see what we're doing, and come by, take a picture of our signs, send it to your friends and family, because there's still time between October 27th and November 3rd. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you. And that last question that came across, how can we keep election officials and government accountable?
So I like to get started with that one. I think that's the big thing, just piggybacking off the last question, is how do we hold these people accountable? And we do that by voting. When officials that we elect if they aren't meeting our, they aren't doing what they said they were going to do, or if they aren't meeting the needs of the community, then it's our job to go back and vote them out. It's as simple as that. And it, as far as even going back and voting the people around them that also help them make those decisions. For example, yes, the president's on the ballot this year, but you also have senators, you also have representatives. They also play a part in what goes on, actually, if not a bigger part than the actual president does. If the things that we want to see happen, the changes that we want to see happen, if they aren't happening, we need to go out and get those senators out of there, get those representatives out of there, and get new people in that will serve the interests of our community. So that's how we hold them accountable.
One thing quickly, Coach Terry.
Go ahead.
In addition to what Trayvon said, is that we don't need to wait until voting time to do that. We can also talk to our elected representatives before that, by email, by a phone, make them accountable. Basically, go to them, let them know what issues are pertinent to us. When we had the whole issue with the Postal Service, and I reached out to Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton and let her know my displeasure with what was going on with the Postal Service. And she addressed those issues, not just because of me, but because of a lot of other constituents felt the same way. So we have to basically, don't take time out. We have to be present 365, 24/7. And we have to learn that we don't just need to wait until election time. We need to be on point, educated, and doing what we need to do every day. Because what happens with our votes, what happens with these people who represent us, it affects our lives. And it affects the lives of our community, our families, our friends, everyone.
And don't be really, I want people to realize that these positions, they call them public servants for a reason. If you feel like you are now serving the people that you voted for, then something went wrong. So to Roger's point, where you don't have to wait until election time, to Trey's point, like, we elect these people to serve us. And so if they're not doing what they're doing, if you want to hold them accountable, if you've ever talked to elected officials or if you've ever been to programs where they are, one of the things that they do and they really want is to talk to people because they know they need us to get to what they want to do. So they should not be ducking your calls or your emails. They will respond. So don't feel intimidated or don't feel like that they're out of reach because they're in these offices to serve you.
And that's the big thing. I think, I hope that ain't my sound. Is that my sound?
It ain't mine.
I hope it ain't mine. But one of the things that really frustrates people or intimidates people is, how do I contact? What do I say? You say what you're thinking, okay? And if you really want to get their attention, say it on Twitter. You want to get their honest attention, say it on Twitter. They are, any company, any organization is quicker to respond when you put them on blast through Twitter than anywhere else. But we need you to not only put them on blast and stand up for what it is you want, we need you to get out. We need you to encourage people. So here's my first challenge. I need all veterans, whether you served one day or 38 days or 30 years, I need you to make a promise to those around you that you're going to serve one more time in your civic duty, to vote for not Republican or Democrat or independent or those dead like Mr. Hogan voted for, but you're going to vote for life, because that's what this choice is down to. Not Trump or Biden or anyone else. It's down to your life. Who handles COVID? Who handles, how do we get this car back out of the ditch again and get it back going down the road? Guys, we got some serious choices we have to make. And no one on this show is telling you who to vote for, but I am telling you what to vote for. Vote for life. If you can't figure out who to give your vote to, vote for who you would trust with your grandmother or your daughter or wife or husband's or child's life. Who would you trust with it? That should make it a real damn easy choice. You hear me? That's a real easy choice. And again, I want to thank the Omega Men. You guys are fantastic. And I look forward to many more conversations. We have another discussion coming up. I'm calling it my round table before the vote. And some of our previous guests have agreed already to come back on. Dr. Courtney Houchins, I really appreciate you coming on. Dr. Luther Virgil is coming back, I believe. Anyway, I'm gonna start name dropping here, and you know I'll do it in a minute. But I'm proud of you guys for standing up, not just those on this screen, but those that were here in the future. You'll be able to tell your grandkids, like I told my grandson tonight, I'm fighting for you, James, and I'm not gonna give up. Happy 11th birthday to you. I wanna say happy birthday to my son, Malcolm, to my niece, Mill, and most importantly, Mama, it's been 5 years, baby. I hope you're proud of your baby boy. Your girls are doing well. All of your girls are doing well. You hear me? All five of them, they're doing well. Their kids are doing well. But I miss you, Mom. This month you passed away, and it's been hard. But every time I thought about quitting, every time I thought this would never work, your spirit dropped in me, and you would always say, don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. We don't have that much farther to go. From the projects of Asheville, North Carolina, to East End, to South Side, to Mountaintop, to Greenville, South Carolina, from liquor houses, that's where I come from. Mm. Mama, you didn't have an education, but you were full of knowledge. We miss you. And I dedicate this show to you, and I hope you are proud, because I'm scared for this country. I'm scared for this world. And if you got any pull up there, Mama, and you always told us, like Granddaddy would say, get to know the cook, the medic, and the supply sergeant. Mama, if you know those people, we could use them right about now, because we need some help.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We need some help. But I'm not sad. I'm encouraged to fight, because there are some good men, some good women of this country, of this world, who have not given up, who have not given in, and who have not given out. And I want to thank each and every one of you who has my mama's spirit of fight. If you can look up, you can get up. And tonight, I'm challenging you to get up. Vote plus three. That's what we need. Again, I want to thank you guys. I want to give you back the rest of your time. You let me steal a little bit. And if you ever want to come back on this platform or any of the three platforms we have under One Due North, you are always welcome. To my team, Joshua, my producer, and my executive producer, Danita Terry, a.k.a. Baby, I hope you feel better soon. I really do. I know you're going to be back in the game, and we're going to get on the golf course. To the Facebook family, the LinkedIn family, I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night, gentlemen. Good
night. Thank you, Coach.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Oh, shit.